Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. It seems that everyone is talking about healthcare these days, and it also appears that there are more questions than clear answers, which makes you wonder, how well do people actually understand the issue? With so much information and healthy doses of misinformation spewing forth from the internet, the blogs, and out of the mouths of 24-hour cable news pundits, it can be overwhelming to follow this debate. Time and again, when policymakers and researchers consider potential solutions to the crisis of uninsurance in the United States, the question of whether health insurance matters to health is often a key issue. This question is far more than an academic concern. It's crucial that the U.S. healthcare policy be informed with current and valid evidence on the consequences of uninsurance for health care and health outcomes. From 2001 to 2004, the Institute of Medicine issued 6 reports, all of which concluded that being uninsured was genuinely hazardous to people's health. The IOM, therefore, consistently recommended that the nation move quickly to implement a strategy to achieve health insurance coverage for all. There has been a substantial amount of new research conducted since the last IOM report on this topic in 2004. In anticipation of continuing debates over healthcare policy, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation asked the IOM to issue a new report with an up-to-date assessment of the research evidence on the various impacts of high rates of uninsurance in the U.S. Earlier this year, the IOM released its latest findings. To understand the magnitude of the problem, we talked to committee member Catherine Baker, a professor of health economics at Harvard University, about the IOM's new report, America's Uninsured Crisis: Consequences for Health and Health Care.
National surveys show that there are about 46 million uninsured people in the U.S. today, but that rate is much higher in some parts of the country and for some populations. I think it might be surprising to a lot of people how very heterogeneous the uninsured population looks. A lot of people who are uninsured are in families with at least one worker in them, so it's not just people without jobs who are uninsured, and it's not just people in cities, or it's not just people who are in a certain age group. It really hits a lot of different parts of society.
So why exactly are rates of health insurance coverage so low, and what exactly is driving the downward trends in coverage? To understand this, you have to examine the problems associated with each of the sources of health insurance coverage. Broadly speaking, most people who buy private health insurance obtain it through their employer. But there are a few other options for those who decide not to use employer-sponsored health insurance or who don't have access to it.
The employer market has seen a decline in rates of offering insurance, especially among smaller employers. And workers for those small firms may not have access to insurance coverage, whereas in the past they did. We also see that among the workers who are offered health insurance by their employer, they're declining take-up rates as the cost of health insurance rises. And both of those phenomena, the decline in offering rates and the decline in take-up among those who are offered, can be attributed in large part to the increase in healthcare costs that we've seen. We've seen a dramatic increase in healthcare costs relative to wages or relative to GDP overall. And that makes it harder for firms to offer, and it makes it harder for workers to be able to afford their share of those premiums.
The rest of the privately insured population, rather than getting insurance from an employer, get insurance on the individual market or the non-group market. But obtaining access to this source of health insurance can be very difficult for a lot of people.
It depends on what state you live in and what age group you're in and what your pre-existing conditions are. But for some people, the non-group market offers only very expensive policies with very limited benefits. And in the absence of a non-group market that functions much better than what we see now, having to go to that market imposes huge access burdens on people who don't have the chance to enroll in group or employer-sponsored insurance.
Then there are those who receive their health insurance through publicly sponsored programs. For the most part, the majority of those over the age of 65 are enrolled in Medicare, and many children have the opportunity to be enrolled in Medicaid or SCHIP. Nevertheless, there's a big segment of the population that isn't eligible for these public programs that cannot afford the premiums in either the non-group market or the employer market.
Fortunately, in recent years, there has been some expansion of access to public programs that has taken up some of the increase in uninsurance that we would otherwise have seen by the decline in employer offering. But that really can't keep up with the underlying problems and the run-up in uninsurance that we've seen over the last decade. Public programs also aren't always taken up by people who are eligible for them, either because they don't know about the programs or because they don't gain enough access to providers even when they are enrolled in the programs.
In recent years, there's been a robust body of well-designed, high-quality research findings that provide compelling evidence about the harms of being uninsured and the benefits of securing health insurance for both children and adults. Despite the availability of some safety net services, there's a chasm between the healthcare needs of people without health insurance and access to effective healthcare services. This gap results in needless illness, suffering, and sometimes even death.
Children with health insurance gain more timely access to care, have any conditions or diseases diagnosed earlier when they're more easily and more successfully treated. Those children with insurance have fewer avoidable hospitalizations, and they have better disease management. Adults who don't have access to health insurance get less preventive care. They have their diseases and conditions such as cancers diagnosed at later stages. This also means that adults have more visits to hospitals that are more expensive and are less likely to have their diseases managed in a way that promotes long-run good health outcomes.
And what's even more interesting is that not only does uninsurance negatively impact the health of those who are uninsured, but recent studies have suggested that when community-level rates of uninsurance are relatively high, even those who are insured in those communities are more likely to have difficulties obtaining needed health care and to be less satisfied with the care they receive. This is clearly a critical concern when we consider the societal consequences of having 46 million people uninsured in this country.
We're pretty sure that it's bad for the health of those people who are uninsured, but there's also strongly suggestive evidence that it's bad for other people's health and health access as well. And that's partly because emergency rooms get overcrowded and those resources then aren't as available to insured populations. But it also means that the communities with higher rates of uninsurance are likely to have fewer providers, which means a scarcity of care for everyone living in that community. They have limited infrastructure. They have limited capital investment. All of that investment in healthcare infrastructure that is absent in communities with high rates of uninsurance means limited access to life-saving technology for everyone who's being treated by those providers.
A severely weakened economy, rising healthcare and health insurance costs, growing unemployment, and declining employment-based health insurance coverage all provide evidence that the U.S. health insurance system is in a state of crisis. There is a compelling case for action. Simply stated, health insurance coverage matters. Expanding health coverage to all Americans is essential, but action to reduce health care expenditures and the rate of increase in per capita health care spending is also of paramount importance if health insurance coverage for all is to be achieved and sustained. But we cannot delay action to wait for the development of a long-term approach to addressing underlying health care costs. We already know that the absence of health insurance is hurting people's health right now. So while a comprehensive reform that dealt with all of these issues could be very successful, the IOM firmly believes that we cannot let the perfect be the enemy of the good, and we cannot delay covering the uninsured now to wait for some better strategy in the future. You may read the full results of the Institute of Medicine's most recent work on the uninsured crisis in America online at nap.edu. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.